You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
What we're dealing with here is a total lack of respect for the law.
You're listening to Done by Law, brought to you by the Federation of Community Legal Centres.
Welcome, dear listeners, to Done by Law on 3CR 855 AM. And also welcome to those listening via various podcast platforms or via our streaming service on 3cr.org.au. You're with Jimmy tonight. It's just after 6 PM on Tuesday, the 4th of November in the year 2025. We start tonight's show, as always, by acknowledging the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation as the original and rightful custodians of the land that 3CR broadcasts from. We pay our respects to elders past, elders present, and those that are emerging in our community, and extend that respect to any First Nations listeners tuning in today. Tonight's episode I'm very, very much excited for. We're talking a little bit about guardianship and administration orders, a topic we've covered on this show before, but this time with a little bit of a different slant. These are orders that appoint a decision maker to take over the affairs of someone who has a disability that impacts their capacity to make decisions. The orders are, by their nature, extremely restrictive. They take away someone's ability to manage their own life, whether it be decisions about how to spend their own money, where they live, and even in some cases, who they can have contact with. There's been a lot of attention on guardianship and administration orders in recent years, and more and more stories of abuse and neglect and other adjacent atrocities are brought to light. There's much we could discuss about this troubling system, but tonight's focus is on one individual's journey navigating this system, particularly on aspects which can prevent those impacted by the system from speaking out about their experiences. Tonight's guest is the amazing Yuli Cartwright, a prominent disability advocate who has previously been subject to a state-appointed administrator. After managing to get those orders removed, he created Life is a Battlefield, an epic documentary about his life to raise awareness of the barriers faced by people living with disability. This is currently available on SBS On Demand for only a couple of more months, so it's important you tune in while you can. However, 2 weeks after the program originally aired, VCAT raised concerns about Yuli identifying himself, prompting SBS to remove the program from its online catalogue. Yuli had to then apply to VCAT for permission for SBS to publish his documentary, a request that was ultimately granted. With his story now public, he is able to speak about certain aspects of his experience while continuing to advocate for those who live with disability, as well as a number of other barriers that so many in our community face. Beyond his documentary, he's had many media appearances, including on ABC and SBS, and has given evidence to the Disability Royal Commission. He also has a few juicy podcast episodes available online, which we'll talk about later. He also runs a disability advocacy organisation that he founded, sharing the same name as his documentary, Life is a Battlefield. We are privileged to have him in the studio tonight to discuss his experience with administration orders, as well as his own incredible journey and how he now gets to tell it. Welcome to the show, Yuli.
Hi, Jimmy.
It's fantastic to have you on the show, mate. Thank you for joining
awesome.
Us.
Thank you for having me. Can I just say before we start, I'd like to also acknowledge people with lived experience as well, invisible. Physical, respect and acknowledge their families, siblings, loved ones, supporters, and, acknowledge and respect the neglect and the trauma that they carry from, previous institutions and, ongoing change that we try and help, engage in. So
yeah.
I think it's important to respect lived experience as well and acknowledge that.
100%. And that's an awesome way to open the show because, I think that's part of why we wanted you on the show, but you are just one story.
Yeah,
amongst,
of course. 100%. Yeah, 100%.
There,
so. There's 50,000 people on that are subjected to these, to this law that, impacted me.
Yeah. So Look, that leads very nicely into our first question, funnily enough. So we've just heard about the various swings and roundabouts that you've gone through and your determination to advocate for people with disabilities. What's motivated you to advocate so strongly, even in the face of legal and other barriers?
I didn't really see it. It was a matter of survival. I've spent most of my life in hospital, in, you know, group homes and in, you know, systems, in structures. Mm. So I needed to fend for myself and do what was, I don't know, what I just thought was right.
Yeah.
It's exhausting. It's difficult, but it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, I've spent 5 years on a hunch that my movie was going to allow me to, you know, economically participate, as the government likes to say, like, you know, draw a wage. Yeah. And that seems to start to be, you know, happening, which is great. So I had no choice but to advocate for myself.
Yeah, awesome. And probably one of the more powerful, or at least publicly available, ways you've done that is in the documentary that we mentioned in the introduction, Life as a Battlefield.
Yeah.
This is an awesome documentary. Please go watch it if you haven't seen it already. It's available on SBS on demand.
It makes me so weird, people saying that, because it's just my life. But yeah, it's great. It was, it's in a good way, you know, because it's like, it's my life. It's, but
well,
go watch it.
Look, it really struck me. You know, obviously, I knew you were coming on the show, so I gave it a good watch, but I was blown away after getting stuck into it.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about that documentary process and what it felt like telling your story so publicly and so loudly?
I don't know. I've been told by people I've got the gift of the gab. So it was just me being me in front of a camera. I had no, there was no intention of ever selling it, so to speak. It was just, we were going to put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
I was like really sick when we first started filming it. My producer actually turned around and said, to be honest, mate, I just wanted to get your final wishes on, you know, on camera, just in case you were, you know, you didn't make it. I'm like, thanks, mate. but yeah, it was great. It was educational. You know, I just wanted to let people in, because the fact was I had support workers that didn't know what happened in the hospital, and I had, you know, healthcare workers and doctors that had no idea what the role of a support worker was.
Yeah.
And I was the person stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
So it was just like, well, I'm just going to live my life and hopefully I can do something with it.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be the centerpiece for SBS in 2021 for International Day for People with Disability. So I'm pretty happy, if you ask me.
So you should be. It's amazing to hear that journey of just, you know, really just being, you know, your raw data being stored somewhere.
Basically.
In case you weren't there to share it yourself in the future. But what a privilege all them also to have you in the studio tonight. So, as we said, it's available online now. It was a centerpiece in SBS. On SBS On Demand. We'll chuck a link in the bio of this episode as well.
Mm.
For a while, it wasn't available online. And it was taken down
For about 3 or 4 months.
Taken against your will, as I understand it. What can you tell us about that little story?
I was, I had just finished my documentary. I was sitting in, I think it was Ottawa State Forest in, you know, northern Victoria, in a swag. And I received my producer received a phone call, and we were informed that out of, you know, safety and precaution, that SBS decided to take my movie down on an email, you know, a reminder from the courts asking them if I, you know, did they know that this law existed?
So a gentle reminder from a court.
Quotation marks, gentle reminder.
How gentle is a court reminder? I guess. Absolutely.
That's how I feel from this side of the, you know, the fence. It was already done by the time the phone call came through.
And can I ask what your feeling was in that moment? Like what it felt like to have gone through? Because what was made clear as well is that documentary was a lot of effort.
Like, I was just like, right. Do I go back to bed? I'm like, I'm cold now and I'm awake. What do I do? And I just called at the time the founder of Valid, which is the peak body for intellectual disability in Victoria.
Yeah.
I called him and I'm like, Kevin, this is my problem. I don't know what to do. Can you help me?
Yeah.
And he's just like, that's a problem. Let me call you back. And within about an hour or two, I had a lawyer. You know, just networks, just the people I knew, relationships I had. I got it into court, luckily. But like, if I wasn't able to speak or if I didn't have an unhealthy obsession of determination, I don't know what I would have done. It would have just gone by the wayside. Yeah. Like, it would have just disappeared.
And, like, I think what's clear from watching the documentary is, like, how much effort it took. Not just in terms of how long it goes for, how much of your life it covers.
Emotionally, mentally, but like, I need to work out whether I want that to be on camera, whether I want to share that, whether people are going to, you know, misunderstand what I'm trying to explain. Like, it was just like, oh, man, I just spent 5 years recording it. I was exhausted. I was just like, this is, really? This is a problem.
And I guess we should frame this with the law that we're talking about here. Yeah. There is Clause 37 in Schedule 1 of the Victorian Civil and Administrative Tribunal Act.
Says so it's not a guardianship law. It's a VCAT Act.
Yeah, it's a VCAT or Act that says a person must not publish or broadcast information that identifies parties involved in guardianship administration proceedings.
Yep.
Which
The key point for me, if I may, is the identification part. It's just like, so you don't need to breach it directly.
Yeah.
If it leads to the reasonable identification of the person that you're referring to, that's a breach.
That's a breach, yeah.
But then the question is, it's ambiguous, and we're not going to get into it now, but like, what's publication?
Yeah.
Like, in today's society, is it Facebook? Is it paper? Is someone saying it because they're angry on a text message? Like, what's, you know what I mean? So it's, it's a blanket rule.
But I think, like, and what I guess the blanket rule seems the most absurd in your context, where you put in a lot of effort into this documentary.
Of course, it's all about context. It's all about context.
It's not like you just going off on a big Facebook rant or
We need it. I still to this day think that we need some sort of protection to, you know, stop exploitation and stuff like that. But in my opinion, when you get to the point of weaponizing it for your own personal gain in some situations, and that's how I feel in my situation, not saying it was, but that's how it felt, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Like, that's protectionism. Yeah. And I truly believe that people with disability, whether limited verbal communication or no communication, have something to give.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, do you think, just in your opinion, do you think there's a fine line between those two things, between protectionism and just looking out for people who can't make decisions?
Yeah, of course there is. Yep. Like, but I think people aren't going to learn if they don't make mistakes.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. So, like,
There's no right answer.
Yeah, there's no right answer. There's no easy answer.
I don't think there's a right answer, and I've been through it.
Yeah, and I guess it's on that dynamic of protectionism, right? Like, as long as we are sincerely endeavouring
to protect that person, not what you think the person wants, not what's easy for the loved one or the administrator or the public guardian or whatever, it's what's in the best interest of upholding the person's human rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when you think about it, guardianship order is a legal framework to restrict someone's human rights.
Yeah.
And my logical brain's just like, okay, we're restricting someone's rights. We're legally breaching them, being aware of it.
Yeah.
And then you automatically can't say anything about the order that you're now on.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll
ask questions about it. But
Well, like, yeah, I guess we'll get into the other side.
I think that's the fine line. It's just like which way you look at it.
Yeah, exactly. But so it's interesting because a lot of the time we have like lived experience people on this show, and like we recently had a guest on who was subject to forced mental health treatment, and he kind of said similar to what you were saying in that in a completely different context, you know. But saying that like there is a role. For this, there is times where this is necessary,
of course.
But the way it's being implemented in society currently is highly problematic and highly protective.
I think guardianship and administration as a whole is probably out of date, but there's nothing to replace it with.
Yeah,
you
interesting.
Know? Like, we need it. Yeah. I don't think it should be abolished. I don't think it should be thrown in the bin.
Yeah.
Like, we do need it. We need to protect people.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Well, we are remarkably already getting to halfway through this show, so we will just go quickly to a guardianship administration order. We'll go quickly to a community service announcement, and then after this, we'll talk into some of the nitty-gritty around guardianship and administration orders and what changes might be possible. You're listening to Done by Law on 3CR 855 AM. Stay tuned. We'll take a quick break with a community service announcement.
Do you have a fine you're worried about? If you are struggling to pay a fine, there can be ways to help you deal with it. You may be able to get your fine lifted or reduced where you are experiencing difficult life circumstances, such as family violence, mental health challenges, disability, homelessness, or drug or alcohol dependency. If you have fines from not paying toll roads, you may also be able to get the fine waived if you're experiencing financial or other hardship. Speak to a community lawyer or financial counsellor to get advice on your options. You can find your local community centre on the Federation of Community Legal Centres website, fclc.org.au. You can find a financial counsellor by calling the National Debt Helpline on 1800 007 007. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to Done By Law on 3CR Community Radio with your host, Jimmy. Tonight, we're speaking with Yuli on his experience being subject to and then overcoming administration orders in Victoria within the context of his fantastic documentary, Life is a Battlefield, available on SBS On Demand right now. Yuli, before the break, we discussed this documentary, and I understand that we talked briefly about you having to go to VCAT to get your documentary republished, again, where it seems you advocated passionately for it. We talked a little bit about the hearing before the show. I've tried to forget any of it because I want to hear you say it again. Can you talk to us a little bit about what that process was and how it felt?
I'll tell you another story. Yeah. So, it was in the middle of COVID and it was during Christmas. So all the courts were closed, so to speak. Gotcha. So I did an online thing and I turned around to my lawyer. I'm like, what's going to happen? Because I thought as a young person that has a disability that lived in group homes, I just thought lawyers were bad. Like they're just bad news, you know? So I went in there and like the proceeding started and we clarified what the issues were and stuff like that. And then the judge asked me, Can you pass the, you know, the public interest test? I'm like, Your Honor, I actually stumbled. I'm like, Your Honor, Judge, and she's just like, you can call me Deputy Niall, because I had never been in a courtroom. Mm. And I'm like, can you please tell me what the public interest test is? And she told me, and I'm like, do you want me to answer, Your Honor? She's like, yes, if you can. And I answered it, and I didn't realize at the time, but she was actually checking if I understood what was going on.
Yeah, right. So she was kind of doing a little capacity test in the moment.
There and there. I had no idea. And then when we logged off, I turned around to my lawyer. I'm just like, what do I do now? And without her thinking, she's just like, you changed the law. I'm like, what? How? So like, it was a whole new experience.
So what I understand is that you went to this VCAT hearing specifically on the removal of the
documentary. Yeah, it had come down and I was seeking permission, an emergency order to be able to circumvent for the courts to give permission to the network with my consent to put it back online.
And the tribunal ultimately found that your documentary is in the public interest.
Yep.
And it's fine. Yep. And it's not hurting anyone.
No.
And it's back online.
Yep.
Yeah. So a fantastic little journey there through a pretty messed up system.
Yeah.
And like we were talking about before the show, like obviously she's doing that little capacity test for you, but obviously they would have been blown away by your ability to speak up for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Which I think we were speaking before the show isn't really available for everyone. Like there might have been people with just as great documentaries as yours who wouldn't be able to do what you just did.
And that's why I so articulately described what I was doing when I found out, because even though I'm verbal, as you said, you know, some people can't get the access to support, you know?
So how did it feel when you have your lawyer tell you you've changed the law, you finally realise that VCAT have agreed with you that you can tell your story?
Yeah. I'm just like, all right, how long is it going to take to get back online? Like, where's the SBS email? Let me email the order to them. Judge, are you emailing it to me or sending it out in the mail? That's what it was like. And it took about 2 or 3 months to get it back up.
Yeah, that's frustrating in itself.
But... And even you know, the stakeholders were also concerned even after I got the order, just because it was so... no one's ever brought it to light. It's so taboo, this law, because no one has ever really contested it. So everyone was just like, we're all in uncharted territories.
It was
crazy.
Yeah.
And me being so young and naive, I didn't know the severity of what I was embarking on, you know?
Well, I mean, there's nothing severe in and of itself, right? It's a pretty sincere attempt just to share your story, which 100%. Is a natural inclination for a lot of
people. But I think the legal term is it sets precedence. I didn't know I was setting precedence at the time, you know?
Yeah, fantastic. So if I may get the attention off you for a second and start talking about some broader kind of policy stuff.
Oh, God, yeah. Let's start. The boring stuff. No, no, no.
All our opinions are our own on this show.
Yeah.
In recent years, the laws around guardianship and administration orders have changed.
Yeah.
Previously, a state-appointed trustee did not have to consider what the person subject to the order actually wanted, which is just crazy to think about.
Yep.
They simply had to act in what they perceived to be the best interest of that person, whether or not that person could articulate their best interest.
Perception. Don't we love that word?
Yeah. Now there have been changes to consider the will and preference of the individual. So were those changes made after your administration order was removed? Speaking, what do you make of this change? Like,
progress.
Yeah. And do you think it's going to make a tangible difference? It's obviously hard to say from, you know, now that you're no longer subject to it, but do you think is it just a step in the right direction or do you think it's a major shift?
It's a step because I think it's just namesake at the moment.
Yeah.
I think it's a buzzword, will and preference. I agree with the word, but I think it hasn't been unpacked, explored. Like, we all know what will and preference is, but I don't think the system's learned how to properly work out what it is.
And I think, like,
fairly.
Yeah, and, like, I guess, like, if we do unpack it a
My opinion is the old way of doing things was it made it too easy for people to weaponize and hide behind scrutiny and secrecy.
Yeah, So it's kind of taken away a few of the barbs that they could throw.
Yeah.
But in the sense it's stepping in the right direction. It is interesting when you think about will and preference in the context of someone who's been designated by the state as to not be able to make their own kind
of decisions. Yeah, I never thought of it like that. Like, do make a good point. Yeah, I don't know. It seems backwards to me.
Yeah, but we won't bark too loudly at positive change, incremental.
I think broadly I would love for them to be a somewhat consensus on how to apply guardianship in general across the nation. And that doesn't mean the federal government needs to get involved, but like just a simple thing, right? Yeah. If I was still on these orders and I wanted to move states, I would have to worry about picking up my whole life and moving a state, but then also have to work out how the laws change.
Yeah.
Like it's just not convenient.
Yeah.
It's inaccessible. That's all.
I guess a bit of an ethos change, like a bit of an attitude change.
Yeah.
That like this text is a good start and probably works 100%. In writing, but in practice maybe not.
I think law's just dry in general. I love law, but it is very like two dimensional.
Yeah, and I think in dynamics such as this, where it's so raw and so intimate in the involvement in someone's life,
the
black and white nature of law can feel highly inapplicable and highly inappropriate to get involved.
But it also, on the other hand, is the reason why we need these sorts of laws, because 100%. They are so complicated and there is some traumatizing stuff that, you know, the media doesn't deserve to have, you know, in the air, you know, like there has to be some sort of privacy and stuff.
Yeah.
I also think, you know, it's a different topic and I might be able to come back another time. I think there's some sort of media responsibility for this as well.
Yeah.
You know, because we can't, you know, you can tell a story. It doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not just on us.
Yeah.
You know, I shouldn't need to be the person with disability fighting to be telling society these things.
Yeah. 100%.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just doing my bit. Like, that's it.
You're doing plenty, trust me. All right. And there's also a current bill in Parliament to consider amending the confidentiality provisions in Victoria's Guardianship and Administration Act.
Yep.
If passed, it would mean that people who are subject to orders or who have been subject to orders in the past, like yourself, can share their own way more freely, share their own story more freely. You know, I'm maybe asking an obvious question here, but what are your views on this proposed amendment?
I did a lot of work in the background.
Yeah.
And when we first got in contact with each other,
I
found out about 2 or 3 weeks ago that it's not going to be debated. So they shot it to the floor.
Ah, wow.
But I have something else.
What do you
in
got
mind?
For us? Yeah.
I've partnered. Not partnered, but I've worked with the Australian Autism Alliance to come up with an open letter to all states and territory ministers, which will be coming out soon, and attorney generals. Because realistically speaking, it's a disability minister issue, it's an attorney general issue, and it's state issues.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. So we're working on that. Can't promise when it'll be out, but it's coming. It's coming.
All right.
Like pretty soon.
Well, if you open invite to come back on the show to talk about this stuff, if you need to.
Yeah, fantastic.
We leave you in this building for too long. I'm worried you'll take over the radio station. Seem way too comfortable.
I'll go back to bed. It's all right.
Look, we are wrapping up.
Thanks for having me, Jimmy.
Nah, it's been awesome, man. Thank you very much for coming on the show. Like you've been everywhere. So it's quite a privilege to have you in the studio here at 3CR Community Radio.
Thank you for having me.
And we think that, you know, you're an exceptional story, an exceptional journey that you've been on, and really just highlights how much unspoken journeys there are in this country and unspoken battlefields that people are fighting every day.
As I say, I don't have the answers. I'm just one person, but together, hopefully, we can get some change.
Yeah,
you know?
Fantastic. Well, we'll keep a close eye on you. We'll wait to see that open letter. And otherwise, we're sadly out of time for this evening. Yuli, thank you so much again for coming on the show for sharing your experience. You can find out more about Yuli's work by visiting his organization's website, lifeisabattlefield.org, and find his documentary, Life is a Battlefield, on SBS On Demand. We'll also put a bunch of links in the episode bio, including his podcast as well. You've been listening to Done by Law on 3CR 855 AM at 3cr.org.au and available on various podcast platforms. Done by Law will be back again next Tuesday at 6 PM. Stay tuned. We should have the Voices of West Papua up right after this.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.